sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about your sex and your happiness. Like, you know, mine is important, and believe me, I'm doing it. And I'm happy and I'm having sex. So I'm not too worried about increasing mine. That's like my life's journey. But I am concerned about yours. I want you to have it. I don't think they go separate. I think they're hand in hand. So today is no exception. I have an amazing guest. I met her online. A person that I love very much introduced me to her. He called me up and he said, "Have you seen this woman? She has this Kaleidoscope Nation on Facebook. She's the Violet Butterfly. Her name is Alexa Martinez." And I said, "No, I don't know who she is." And he said, "Well, check her out. She's the shit." And I said, "Okay." And I checked you out and I asked to join, or you asked me to join Kaleidoscope Nation. I don't know. But anyway, here we are. We just did a show. Alexa just interviewed me and I'm now interviewing her about her stuff and her subject matter. So Alexa, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Oh, thank you so much.
And you're all about sex and happiness, so.
I am, yeah.
Yeah. So I named my book Sex and Happiness in 2005, I guess, when I was writing it. And then my show used to be called Tantra Cafe. And I got really bored of tantrics. Like, I asked them the same, I always ask the question, "What's your favorite practice?" And they all said the same thing: eye gazing. So I got tired of that, and I changed the name of my show to Sex and Happiness instead of Tantra Cafe, and it expanded me, just the mere changing of the name. Then I found out that sex and happiness are the two most searched for words on Google or on browser searches. So, you know, and all in hindsight, I didn't know that. So now I know it.
And now I know it.
Yeah. People search a lot about sex and they search a lot about happiness. They look for a lot of self-help. And because people can search in the privacy of their own home and they don't have to get exposed by going to a workshop, they do a lot of searching for these things.
Right. Thank goodness Google is there.
Yes. Yes. It's wonderful. So let's go to you. So you are a sexuality empowerment coach. You blog about sex. You have your own show about sex. You write about it. You probably sleep, eat, and breathe it.
I wish I did it more right now. But I'm very protective of my space, but I'm also in like ultimate creator mode right now. Granted, I give to myself a lot.
You know what? You have to. If you won't, nobody else will. And
very true.
Something I learned a long time ago, like when I moved to Phoenix from New York, and I didn't know. I mean, I moved here to be part of a community, an intentional community. But other than that, I didn't like any of the men in the community. And I went online and I met 100 men and I didn't like any of them. So I said, "What am I going to do?" So I said, "Well, I got to take myself in my own hands." And I personally took myself further than I had ever gone before. Like, I took myself to a place beyond where any lover had ever taken me. And it was so wow. It was so earth shattering that it changed my life, and then it juxtaposed how I would be with any new lover.
Right.
I would say, "You know what? I discovered this because I was willing to take myself here. Are you willing to take me there?"
Right? You push your own boundaries.
Exactly.
I mean, imagine the trust that you build in yourself.
Exactly. So now, and then I attracted all these new wonderful lovers. So I'm not for want here in Phoenix and or anywhere.
It's typically the way it works.
When I first started Tantra, though, I got much less sex than I had ever gotten before, because when this became a temple,
right,
then Once my body was a temple, like, I didn't want to mix it with just anybody. I didn't want to have any more one night stands or any kinds of things that I was used to doing. So I get you. I read you loud and clear.
The standard continues. Yeah. It's like, you know, you might have an encounter with someone, and then I actually just typed this out to one of my clients who was like, you know what? I think that I'm not going to engage with this other person anymore. And, you know, filling me in about her life. And I said, yes. So then whenever you look at all of the journaling you've done and the intention work you've done and the standards that you've been setting, like your non-negotiables regarding people entering your space, I said, well, you need to tweak that a little bit more because we're manifesting here. So it's like the clearer that you get with what you really wish to have happen in your life, the experience, how it feels, how it sounds, you know, how it smells, how it tastes, all of those things, like get really, really clear. And even in the people that you want to have, you know, set experiences with. And so, yeah, a little trial and error. And until then, have faith that you can always get yourself to end goal.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
There's nothing like that self-reliance. Like, I need you. I mean, I want you. I don't need you. But having you here is great. But, you know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
I like that. I like to think that my partners are the cherry on the icing of the cake.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You like them to feel that way, too.
Yeah. Very special. Just like, you are such a gift.
Right. So. Takes it to the next level. Yeah. You know, if it's the cherry, then it's, you know, whenever you go to a place that they give you a little bit extra sprinkles on top of that dessert, right, chances are high you're going to visit that place because it's, you know, it's that extra personal next level touch.
Exactly. So let's back up a little and find out, like, how you got to be a sexuality empowerment coach, like how you got to be into this sexual health blogging, et cetera, because I know your seventh grade guidance counselor probably did not tell your parents this is what your daughter's going to be when she grows up.
Makes me think. The first thing that I say whenever I hear, like, in my mind, I go, what guidance counselor? Who isn't even one? you know, of course you know that that's a loaded question, and that was why I didn't want to ask you that too, because I knew, like, I can still fit mine into one show's worth, but I knew if I asked you that question, there was no way.
I have a good story, but it's okay. We'll hear your story. Yeah, my listeners have heard mine before.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, I imagine you've probably heard people say this before, but it's like, I didn't ever intend to do this. This wasn't what I didn't think, oh, I'm going to just talk sex all the time, especially where I'm from, deep South Louisiana. I'm just under New Orleans, the tip of the boot. I grew up, I call it Catholic-ish because I was like, parts of my schooling was Catholic and parts of it wasn't. And I went through all of the motions, you know, baptized and confirmed. And I was in a constant state, perpetually conflicted with how I felt on the inside, with what was being told to me was the only right and true way to live, eat, breathe, sleep, repeat. And so, you know, I definitely had no idea that this was what I was going to wind up doing. The thing that was told to me the least about, you know, when it comes to like the talk, you know, that quote unquote, the talk,
the sex talk,
you
know, right.
The birds and the bees, that kind of thing, the sex talk. I didn't have one. It was like, hey, do you know what's going to happen when you're going to have your period? And it was I remember exactly where I was, the chair that I was, I climbed in a chair with my mom. She called me over and I sat, and that was really the extent of the talk. It was, we're assuming that school's going to provide, but this is on the cusp of the evangelical movement across that swept through the country. That was abstinence only education. You know, we were looking at Clinton and Bush, and, you know, we just had welfare skyrocketing on the rise, all these single mothers having, you know, their babies, and they were the ones that needed all of this funding. And so we thought, you know, as a people or our government, so to speak, that what we need to do is then just we need to stop having the babies made. So that means we need to push, let the churches go. We support, and we're going to put millions of dollars into this, you know, this front.
Say
no and wear those funny rings. I promise myself to this, you know, this incredibly difficult to achieve, not natural ideal of the way that sex and love and relationships are supposed to go. And we don't even, you know, you're not taught about relationships. You're only said, you know, that you have to wait until marriage and the night of your marriage, and there's all of these rules, and none of them ever felt right. They sound like a joke. I almost want to laugh as I'm hearing them. But, you know, but that was around that time. You know, my mom, and I love her so much. I went in, I actually made her go into, I didn't make her. I asked for her consent, right? Because I'm all about that now. I said, Mom, will you come into the sex shop with me? Well, what are you going to go? And I said, you know, do you want to take a day trip with me? Because I need to get some materials. I'm doing a course. And she's, oh, okay, well, okay. And I get her to go in, and it's kind of like, it was a place here in New Orleans. And I was prepping for a course that I was going to teach on anal play. And I made her hold the basket. I didn't make her, right? I gave her the basket. Yeah. And it was one of the first times where, like, she really started to embrace, you know, she knew a whole lot more. Of course she knew a whole lot more than I ever gave her credit for. But to see her daughter talk about all of these things in such a matter-of-fact way, like, this is life. I'm not going to not talk to this one of the people, if not the person I love the very most in this world, my mother, right? So I'm like, here, hold the basket while I pick out anal beads and a butt plug and, you know, prostate massager and all these things. You know, my, how far we have come in our relationship about this stuff. Because I didn't really give her a choice. I'm the baby in the family, so it's like, she always knew. I'm a Leo. I'm like super duper fire. So she's like not surprised, I think. But anyway, I came from that environment, and my mom, you know, I've said it on a couple of other episodes and podcasts. It's not something that we really keep private. Granted, I'm sure she would like it that way, but she's been married 5 times. She found her perfect partner in her 60th decade, or I say her 60th decade, but in her 60s, right?
Right.
And it's beautiful, and I love that she has that now. But I did. You know, she did go through her ebbs and her flows and her fair share of trial and error. And so I watched that, but I was learning about how bad that was with my Catholic upbringing. You know, when I would go to my school, I was going to church twice a week. But then I had my sister, my brother-in-law, who, you know, was always the three women, my sister, my mom and I, but my sister and I are 13 years apart. So my brother-in-law has been in the picture since I was 3, since they were 16 and
wow.
I think he was maybe 19. And they're still together in their 40s. So I literally grew up with both ends of the spectrum, 2 people I loved dearly, but doing this whole thing called love and relationships very differently. And I remember at the time thinking, you know, when I was growing up, I'm going to not do it the way mom did. I'm going to get it right. You know, what's right. I'm going to get it right. And with it, so I'll just fast forward and tell you that I didn't get it right. I started dating. I had my high school sweetheart, took him through the end of college, and that came apart. And, you know, I literally lost my identity. I only knew of sex and sexuality one kind of way. It was to be subservient and to provide. And to make sure, you know, my value was directly attached to my body mm-hmm. and my worth.
And the man you were probably attached to as well.
Very, very, very codependent, but also mm-hmm. because of the way that I was empowered, because this is on the rise of like women's empowerment, let's empower the women. But you empower me so much, you know, and this is my personal story. I know other people might have a different experience. Granted, I know that there's a lot that will resonate with this. So empowered that the way that I'm empowered is to just full on step directly into my masculine. That's what I would call it now, is that I'm just showing up. I'm getting shit done. I'm doing all of these things. I'm going to college and I've got my 3 jobs in order to get me there, you know, through it. And I even made him go to college and I'm doing all these things. And I'm like keeping this household together when it's just me and another person. And we're in our late teens, early 20s. And so I was like, I know now in hindsight, I had a hard time putting down the daggers. Like I was always on the fight. I was always fighting. And that power of being in the masculine just felt so good. It was hard to go back into what my natural state would be, which is, you know, a nice balance of the two, masculine and feminine, right?
Right.
And I had a hard time stepping into the feminine kind of energy at all. And I, you know, it was one of those typical, didn't have a lot of girlfriends, really depended on him and his friends, that kind of thing. That fell apart. It was very unhealthy for a number of reasons, right? I was building on a cracked and faulty foundation.
Right.
No matter what I tried to build upon, that foundation was probably going to come crashing down. Didn't know it at the time. Pieced myself back together with the same shitty falling apart pieces, only I painted the outside of my structure a different color. And that one fell apart as well. But that one was very, very interesting because that one really, that one was the one that gave me all the writing material for the blog.
That's wonderful.
I lived on a cruise ship for 6 years. That was my first time dealing with like infidelity and, you know, cheating, being put on a pedestal as being the pure and true one. When that relationship fell apart, I call it like I hit rock bottom and got dragged through the gravel and lost everything. And I went through the last couple of years of our relationship were sexless. I was 24 years old and in a sexless relationship. Mm-hmm. And engaged to the person for 3 years. I was engaged to that person. And when I came out of it, when I had my last panic attack, my last inner dialogue of you can't keep doing this to yourself, beating yourself up, losing your sense of self. And the relationship really did fall apart because of lack of sex. It was built on we're going to wait and we're going to do it the right way. But it still falls apart without that key element. People put sex on the back burner saying we need to build all of these other connections first. And then you have the sex and you automatically assume, you're taught that you automatically assume that if there's love and connection, the sex is going to be amazing. You're going to, you know, you're going to have sexual compatibility and your libidos are going to be in tune and it's just going to work.
Yeah.
And then it does it, you know? So I came through all of those things and still understanding my body's my worth and you haven't been worshiping my body in all of this time. So what did I do? I abused it after that. Mm. I gave it, I thought that was my liberation. Mm. Use my body because I it's my birthright, you know? And wow. And that didn't work either. Gained a bunch of weight, was doing really poorly in business. And then I snapped out of it. And snapping out of it, it was like one of those in the laundry room, back against the wall, panic attack. Like, you can't keep doing this to yourself. You've got to figure it out. What is it? Go on the journey to figure it out. And I picked myself up and I started the journey, which started with losing the weight and working on mindset. And then I met my first dominant creature of a man that showed me that.
Hold on 1 second. We need to take a break here because I have some commercial sponsors that come.
Oh, sure.
So we're going to stop and we're going to go dot, dot, dot for about 10 seconds.
Sure.
And then we'll kind of come into the first creature of a dominant of a man.
Yeah, sure. I get carried away on my story here. I'm like, I don't know how much she's going to want to hear, but there you go.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Hamless, your host, and I am interviewing Alexa Martinez, and we're hearing about how she became a superstar in the sexuality empowerment movement. So, and it's a good story, and it could happen to you if you're listening, because if you find yourself in any of the places that she's talking about, which, by the way, she's not talking about anything that distant from my life either, you know, listen up, because something could change in your life. And maybe you don't have to go through all of this to get there. So we'll be right back.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. 426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? Attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
I want to talk to you about the craziest and most inventive sex toy or sex enhancement that I've come upon in a long time. It's called Love Rider, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R. That's L-U-V-R-Y-D-R, Love Rider. So I know the couple that invented it. They never intended to invent it. They stumbled upon it. And isn't that how most things go in life? The subtitle to Love Rider is Grab the Bar and Ride Your Lover Wild. And I want to tell you that I've had multiple experiences with Love Rider. I've taken it all around the world and I've had lovers experience it. I've given it to them overnight and told them to come back and tell me their experience with it. And every one of them comes back with a raving report. It's a harness that the person receiving puts around their shoulders, either forwards or backwards, whatever. It depends on what position you want to use the Love Rider in. And the person who's giving, the penetrator, takes the handlebar like they're riding a horse and they lean back and they get amazing angles of penetration from using this device. It's hard to describe, but I want to encourage you to go there and look it up. Listen, my lover gave it a 5.5 stars out of 5. That's all I got to say. So go to loverider.com and look for this beautiful invention, and you can use my name if you call them, or you can use my code Butterfly Workshops, letting them know that you heard about Love Rider through me. That's loverider.com, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and again, I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm interviewing Alexa Martinez, who is the Violet Butterfly, and she's also the head of Kaleidoscope Nation, and she has a podcast and a blog and a lot of stuff going on about human sexuality, and that's how we found each other, of course. So you met a dominant man after you fell apart and your back was against the wall in the laundry room.
Yeah, pretty much. Life started to come together for me, and I made a promise to myself that I wasn't going to allow myself to fall in the same way. I went through that quintessential, like, I'm going to live life for me. You know, I'm going to do me. I'm going to figure me out. I'm going to get back in touch. I'm going to figure out what my favorite color is and my favorite food is, and my favorite music is, instead of always having it be along with somebody else, because
right.
That's what I understood. You know, when you happen to lose your sense of self. And I went on that journey and, you know, I had fun. I reveled in the telling men no at that stage. I felt very powerful in that. And I was on my journey, you know, personal development and everything. And I was bouncing back from the business side of things and healing from the breakup. And then I met the first person that I consider to be, like I said, a dominant creature of a man, who it, in the most mild way I could put it, domed me. It was the first time that I listened submissively versus subserviently to a man. And it was the first time that I experienced incredible presence. And it was also my introduction to the book Sex at Dawn, He was the first person to say, to me anyway, I don't believe in monogamy. I don't practice it for myself. It's not something I aspire to have.
Wow.
And so as an, you know, a young 20-something-year-old, I'm like, is this an actual thing? People live this way? Are you serious? Because that's where, and you laugh, right?
I felt the same way when I heard about that.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know why that what you say to me is sounds so freaking foreign, but yes, so good. It's so right. So I picked up Sex at Dawn. So far I've read that book or listened to that book so many times because it literally changed my life. I swear I listened to it now just because of the effect that it had on me, but it cracked me open to other ideas of what sex and sexuality.
I never read it, so I'm writing it down.
Oh my goodness.
But the person who introduced us told me about that book and I just haven't read it yet. Yeah.
I sing its praises all the time. Christopher Ryan, he has a TED talk that's all about being humans being sexual omnivores, mm-hmm, and how we're built to want variety, and you know, it's just a brilliant book. It was the first time that I'd ever been handed that kind of personal development, which I didn't even consider it personal development at the time. I believe that relationship, and I followed that because I had like a what the hell do I do now moment. Mm-hmm. It was the first time I said I no longer want to be Catholic. It was the first time I let go of organized religion. It was the first time that I said, you know what, I don't agree with monogamy either. If I think about all the times where I've had infidelity happen within my relationships, I was always unhappy and I would have acted if I wanted to. I was acting out in my mind. I just had more control over my body. You know what I mean? And so I said, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm actually going to do this. And I believe that helped me to clear the space for when I met the next person. The next person was my intro into a full-on dom, mm-hmm, sadomasochism, breath play, bondage, and intense dominant submissive dynamic. And with that, I was introduced. There was also, even though I would kind of call it a play on yoni massage, but without the intention work and all of that, but it was the first time for something like a squirting orgasm for me. But incredibly releasing. It was the first time that I'd ever experienced anal play, which is wildly cathartic should you do it properly. There's so much release that can happen with all this.
Right.
And I'd always been told it's dirty and it's wrong. And he showed me things that my body did naturally that I had no idea. And so the space that I went mentally, I didn't realize I was doing it at the time, but it was kind of like sex magic. Because I just got so turned on by my surrender, and I got so turned on by me allowing myself to go there, and it transcended. Like I started a journey of like, if this is what's happening with these, all of these ideals that I've always been told my entire life are wrong, dirty, don't do it, what else is out there? And slowly but surely, people just kept coming to me. What are you doing? You're glowing. Like the business is booming. Money's coming in. You're happy. And then I started writing about it, and I wasn't ready to put it out as me, Alexa Martinez. So I called it Violet Butterfly.
Got it.
And that is how Violet Butterfly came about. But now I'm all out in the open.
Yeah. So great. Well, it sounds like amazingly you did a submissive thing. I'm just going to translate it like for my listeners. You did something submissive. Unbeknownst to yourself, it's not like you went around going, oh, I have to have a submissive experience, mm-mm, and I'm going to look for a dom. Like you had a submissive experience because you met the people that you met. And in the surrender, you got your power. And you not only did you get your power, your personal power, but you got your sexual power and your sexual prowess. And in so doing, you got the secret, which is what I talked about in your show. Yeah. The secret being the secret that the secret left out, which is sexual. Mm-hmm. The secret talks about the laws of attraction, but it doesn't talk about your sexuality as being the real power.
Right.
And if you're sexually free, nothing can control you and nothing can own you and nothing will own you. And it's not like a rebellion against monogamy. It's really it's an empowerment that goes beyond all the structures that we've been given and offered as sheeple. Right. You know, follow the society, follow your socialization, follow your religion, follow what your parents said, follow what they said in school, follow what the Deep South for you said and what for me New York said. Follow it. Follow what? Follow your heart and your truth, which comes from being in touch with your sexuality.
Absolutely.
All the things that you discovered.
Yeah. I had a screw it moment. You know, after my what the hell do I do now moment, I had to read The Ethical Slut after that, by the way, because I was like, I don't know what to do, which I've read that one several times, and I recommend that all the time, too. But the air in which I operated had shifted and changed, and it shifted and changed in a way that was forever changed. It's, I call it, it's like there's no turning back now. What you know now, there's no turning back.
That's right.
And to be able to tap into it, I would take experiences or I would think about those experiences. I would get so turned on by just me allowing myself to be free and sexually explorative and all of that. And then I would take that microphone because I was an art dealer at the time and I was selling something that nobody freaking needed. So to take high end luxury sales to where I have to command a room of a couple hundred people and host events, I take that. I would literally, and I didn't even realize I was doing it at the time. I know now that I would just think really deeply about those really sexual, empowering experiences. And I take that microphone and I would just shoot it out across the whole room. And it was like, you could see it on me. People would come to me and say, "What are you doing?" I shot up in the ranks in my company. I was the highest ranked female. I was making so much money. It's wild that I even stopped doing it to do this full time. But because this all of a sudden became a thing and kept me so busy, I couldn't go back.
I understand.
I couldn't go back.
I totally understand.
But it was, I mean, the women kept coming to me. It was like me at either one or number two. And it was a predominantly male oriented job. And the next ranked woman was like, I think maybe somewhere in between the 20s and 30s. I was one or two, and the next one was 20s and 30s. And they would constantly come to me and say, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" So you're not even going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. Because eventually it did dawn on me. I was like, not just for myself, but my team that I managed, it was up to six people. I said, "We talk about sex and sexuality constantly. We talk about it as much as we think it. We're there for each other, and I'm encouraging exploration. I'm encouraging them to feel sexy. I'm encouraging them to get turned on and then come into work and do the monotonous things. I'm encouraging them to go have their time off to you know, self-love. And I'm asking them questions like, did you masturbate today? And I know that that's weird for like your boss, but it bonded us in such a way that, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, right? I couldn't deny it. And so anyway, Here I am. I write about those things too.
That's great. That's so good. All right. Well, we need to take another break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about what you're creating now, like where you're going with all this, what's coming out of you next. I'm very excited about the stuff that you said. I know it to be true. I didn't always talk about it openly, but just to get back to you, like, I was a contractor for the United States government, state governments, and city governments during Bill Clinton. And so I used to take people off the welfare rolls and get them employed. And I used to get them jumping around the room and moving sexual energy. They didn't know. I just did it. And they got employed and they had this glow and they had all those things. So it's like kind of like what you're saying.
Beautiful.
And then all those contracts went to churches when George W. was elected. And that's when I decided to become a full-time tantra teacher. I took my hobby, I made it my vocation as soon as George W. Bush got elected. So it's really funny that you mentioned all that in your intro. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to find out what the Violet Butterfly is creating next in her life and creating next for people, because obviously you have your hands on the pulse of a lot of people. And you're talking about these things, and you know, I know how important it is, and you can't go home again. You can never turn back. Once you're empowered, you're empowered. That's it. Okay, so please stay tuned. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm ecstatic on the show here today with Alexa Martinez, a person after my own heart. So we'll be right back. Don't go away.
As a sex and happiness coach, I understand that increased sexual participation intensifies sexual responsiveness and desire, as well as overall health and well-being. My experience with a Sibian has personally increased my sexual response, and I can now train women to use this machine to have peak orgasms as often as possible. I strongly believe this will add to their health and well-being, whether they have a partner or not. The beauty and the miracle of the human body is that it adapts and changes much more rapidly than people change their beliefs or their opinions. The Sibian can make any woman's body more resilient with each peak orgasm. Sibian is an amazing experience, often described as the Lamborghini of sex toys. If you're a woman and you can get yourself to look at Sibian, you should do so. It won't take away from your partner. It will only add. Trust me on this. I love my Sibian. Go to Sibian.com. That's Sibian.com. Or call 1-800-253-6135. That's 800-253-6135. And say Laurie Handler's told you about Sibian. And by the way, if you do have a partner, ask about Venus for Men. That's Venus, V-E-N-U-S, for Men.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Laurie talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Laurie's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Laurie is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Laurie sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Laurie Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy, and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. When?
October 14th to the 21st, 2017.
Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
We are back for our final segment, and I'm talking with Alexa Martinez, the Violet Butterfly. Some of you know her. Hopefully you know her as Kaleidoscope Nation. If you're interested in what she's doing, you can look at violetbutterfly.com, or you can try to be admitted into Kaleidoscope Nation. We'll see what her, you know, policies are, whatever. Tell us what you're up to and how people can join you, and what are the next bandwagons that you're on that they can find out about?
Absolutely. Thank you for the questions. It's a little bit of a lot of things all over the place, and I love them all. I try to keep them from fluttering around too much.
Okay.
So the violetbutterfly.com is the original, well, it's primarily where all of this started. That is where you can read my writing, but then also other people who write about sex, love, and relationships and alternative styles of relationships. Okay. So that's all available there. In order, you can find out more ways to work with me one-on-one. I'm oftentimes co-facilitating courses with other coaches. Recently, very interestingly enough, I've been co-facilitating with like business mindset coaches or life coaches or money coaches. And they bring me in to talk about sexuality because they're starting to wake up and realize that it's all connected. So
it sure is.
Yes. So I've randomly found myself getting in the mix because if you get in the middle of a private community of several thousand people and they've been talking about strategy for weeks on end or years on end, and then you just say, hey, anybody want to talk about sex? Everyone goes crazy. So I find myself talking about that in those spaces a lot too. I'm starting to host retreats in New Orleans and also a couple of other locations. I host meetups, which I'm in New York right now. So I'm hosting a meetup here, variety of places. Kaleidoscope, if you want to know more about that, that's the private community. So where that even comes from is that the Violet Butterfly is what I started with. And I guess, you know, if I wind up sending you a picture and anybody gets to see me, it's because there's several reasons why it's the Violet Butterfly, but I also have two huge tattoos of butterflies on my arm. I have a whole sleeve of tattoos. I'm kind of interesting, right? I've got purple hair and a sleeve of tattoos, and it's just, it's become a thing now. The violet's taking over my life, right? So a group of butterflies is called a kaleidoscope. So whenever I wound up with the following, I wound up calling my fans and followers and the readers and listeners the kaleidoscope. From that stems my podcast called Kaleidoscope Radio, which you can hear Miss Lori on. She's talking about sex magic and extending your life through sex magic on our episode. But the community itself, how to access it, the primary source of activity is on Facebook. I do call my email list as well, like everybody who subscribes to the Violet Butterfly, I call them. Generally, whoever is paying attention to me, I call the Kaleidoscope. But okay. The active community is very active. We talk about everything that comes into sexuality. Everything from, I'm interested in non-monogamy. What does consensual non-monogamy look like? What is polyamory? What are the differences between that and open relationships? We go into BDSM and kink. We talk about tantra a lot of times. Sex magic gets brought up on the regular. And then as you continue to go across the spectrum, it goes all the way into like fringe topics as well. The other day we had a beautiful conversation about how can we look at adult breastfeeding as something that you look at and you can find empathy for the people who are doing it, as opposed to imposing your erotocentric views on it, thinking that's so odd and weird and gross. But how can we look at it as a means of, like, this is helping people and there is a sexual component to it? We've even had heated conversations about sexual orientation in there, and also things like, you know, a childlike sex doll. Is that moral, ethical? What are our thoughts? What are our, you know, how do we feel about those things? All I wanted to do is create a space for people to be able to ask the questions out loud that they've always wanted to ask, and for it to be a co-ed space that you're talking about sex, but not in a sexual way.
Got it.
And so that is the community. And I love those guys. Like, they bring me to tears with how much love they show to each other nearly daily. Occasionally it gets heated, but in general, they show each other nothing but love and compassion. And it's just a bunch of like really curious minds. And I just get to float around and be curious with them.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I want to thank you for what you're doing. I want to thank you for who you're being. And I'm really glad that I know you. And it's funny how we got here. Our stories aren't dissimilar, except for where we were brought up in the religion part. You know, like, I didn't have that imposed on me, luckily.
Right.
I didn't have to throw that off of myself, but I did have to throw off, you know, a post-war mentality of work really hard and don't let the man win if you go bowling. And his ego has to stay intact no matter what.
Yeah. It's so funny when you said, don't let the man win. And I was like, yeah, feminist. And you went at bowling. I went, right.
Well, I grew up before feminism. So I was one of the, I was an original bra burner, street marcher, take back the night person. Oof. But that happened like, you know, later. That happened after college in my life. So when I was growing up, You know, I was taught if you go bowling with a boy, don't win. He always has to win. His ego always has to feel, you know, da, 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 da. And I was like, oh, my God. Or my mother taught me, if you're ready to go on a date, he has to wait downstairs for a half an hour. I go, but Mom, I'm ready. And she would go, no, he has to learn to wait. And I would go, okay, whatever. So I learned every kind of manipulative, you know, thing.
I actually probably should have learned that at least a little bit and started that from the get-go, because I have a very testy relationship with time. It has never gotten any better. Like, my mom, she always sends me, she's like, I really swear I'm going to buy you this clock. And it's the one where it goes 1, 2, 3, and then all the other numbers pool at the bottom. And then in the middle, it says, whatever, I'll be late anyway. Training them that way, if I was going to try to, you know, train them, probably would have helped a time or two.
I guess. Well, I didn't like it. I was always ready. So anyway, it's wonderful to have you. It's wonderful to have you in my life. And I wish you the best. And I really thank you for being my guest today on Sex and Happiness.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And everybody, tune in next time. I'll have amazing guests, as always, on the topic of your sex and your happiness, because that's what this is all about. This is Laurie Handlers signing off for Sex and Happiness today.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh.